Let's go to the book of beginning, please, Genesis. Genesis and chapter 25. This will be the last time I'll be with you for this time, and I want to say thanks to all of you who have made my visit so very pleasant. And we want to assure you we'll be remembering you in prayers and covering your prayers as well. 25, Genesis and chapter 27. Verse 27 of chapter 25. And the boy grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau, because he ate meat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob set pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint, that is hungry to die. Verse 30. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and a pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. We ask God to let his blessings be upon the reading of his word for Jesus' sake. This is a story, it's a true story about real people. This actually happened. It's recorded in the Word of God for our benefit. God is trying to teach us in several ways, and this is one of the ways. He tells us what and what happened to these people, and their spiritual meaning to it. So we see these two boys, they grew. Esau was a cunning hunter. He was a man of the field. The Lord Jesus says that the field is the world. And here is this man growing up, and all his inclination is towards worldly things. It is possible that right in this meeting, we have some boy or girl who is an Esau. Growing up in the world and having only intentions towards the world, having pleasure only in the world, he was a man of the field, a man of the world. You knew where he was identified as a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. The believers will understand that people who dwell in tents are expressing a certain pilgrim character. Those of us who are saved, whether we have material goods in this world or not, if we have, we hold them very loosely, because very soon we are going to be taken away from them, or they could be taken away from us. And this can happen to you as well. So you should develop some Christian character, but pilgrim character. But a person who isn't saved needs to be saved first. And before we are finished tonight, we believe both myself and our brother will tell you how and how you can be saved, and we trust that you will not miss the opportunity this night. So, Jacob was a plain man. He dwelt in tents, as though he had no abiding city here, ready to move on. And we thank God that those of us who are saved are ready to move on. Anytime you say, oh Lord, anytime you say, ready to go, all ready to stay. Are you ready, my friend? If death should strike tonight, are you ready to leave? What will be your destination? Verse 29, and Jacob sat pottage, that is, he was cooking, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. He was hungry. He came in from the field, and he was hungry. He was falling down with a faint, because there's nothing in the field to satisfy. Understand this, beloved. You spend your time in the field, that's the world. Spend your energies in the field, and when it comes to go home, you're going to be hungry. There's nothing out there that is meant to satisfy the soul. Nothing. If you want to have your soul satisfied, you have to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one who satisfies. Don't, as we say, come crying to me. If you spend your time in the world, we have told you up front, it's not going to pay off. It doesn't matter what department of the world you love. The world has nothing to offer to satisfy your soul. At the end of the exercise, you're going to be hungry, you're going to be famished, you're going to be fainting. And so he's coming from the field. There was nothing there to sustain him. And now he's complaining of maybe stomach pains, he's fainting, he's about to fall. And he just said to Jacob, feed me, feed me, feed me, that's all he wanted. Oh, there's someone in this meeting tonight. Realizing that you have nothing to eat all day in the world. And the word of God is food. That you will say, feed me. We thank God the believers are ready to help you. And the Holy Spirit is ready to help you. And the word is all sufficient. Oh, your soul can be full tonight, beloved. It's been empty too long. You've been hungry too long. You've been trying to fill it from the field, from the world. And the world is not designed to satisfy spiritual hunger. You'll be hungry more than ever for having spent time out there in the world. And it's quite unnecessary that anybody should starve in the midst of so much. There's plenty. The Lord Jesus Christ has provided salvation for everybody, as though he has provided salvation for you. Then why aren't you saved? Because you won't take it. But it won't go to waste. God is pleased with him. If even nobody is saved, the Lord God is pleased with whatever the Lord Jesus Christ did. But what sense does it make if you have a portion of salvation, as it were, paid for in full for you? The Lord God loves you and he sent his son to provide it. The Lord Jesus Christ died to provide it. We who preach the word, we have brought it to your attention. We have advertised it to you. It is just for you to accept it and you let it go away. Well, this man came home and very hungry, and he said, feed me. With that, alright, I think we're in the verse 28. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. Rebecca loved Jacob. I think I should mention briefly here that he has a family with some family problems. Because mother had a favorite of one son, father had a favorite of another son. But what should have happened in this family, and if it's happening in your family, correct it. There should be equal love for everybody. Don't play favorites. But we thank God that our Father doesn't play favorites. He offers salvation to all who will believe. And if you will believe tonight, you're going to find that you are a quality of favorite son. We all favorite sons and daughters when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Verse 31. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Now, Jacob was in for a very serious transaction. The birthright carries certain privileges with it, and property as well. For example, if a man had two sons, the firstborn is supposed to be the one who will get the birthright. So Esau, you might say by his early birth, he had a right to the birthright. Now, having that birthright meant, among other things, that the father's property, if he had two sons, will be divided into three shares. One boy will get one share, the younger one, there'll be two left. So that the other son will get two shares. So he comes out with twice as much as the other son. If a man had seven children, he will divide his property into eight shares, and each of those boys will get one, and there's one boy left and two shares. The same thing goes if you have 10, you make it into 11. So the birthright was like that. The privileged son who had the birthright had special property coming to him. And we want to say to you, beloved, when you accept Christ Jesus as Savior, you come into birthright rights. And you have acreage in heaven. The Lord said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. You can have acreage in heaven. Go for it. Accept Christ Jesus and do it tonight. He wants to treat you like a favorite son. He wants to give you the rights of the birthright. But you have to have a second birth. And to have that second birth, you must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you believe in him tonight, beloved, you are going to be saved. So God is offering you. His hands are extended to you. We are trying to advertise the system to you. It is just for you to accept it. If there was a way by which we could be saved for you, or we could make you be saved, we'd do it. But we can't. It depends upon you. God has made you your own free moral agent. He has given you a will, and He has given you every encouragement and every ability to exercise that will. You exercise that will in coming here tonight. Maybe other things might have been pulling you away, and you decided, I will go to the gospel hall, I will listen to the gospel, thank God. And you do that every day. Sometimes you exercise your will for this, or you exercise your will for that. If you're not yet saved, exercise your will tonight to accept Christ Jesus and be saved. So, the birthright also carried certain privileges of worship. We understand he didn't only get worse for his birthright, and he had a double portion bigger than what anybody has got. He also had the privilege of worship. And he could come to God and, as it were, lead the family in worship. We want to tell you, beloved, many people in the religious world believe they can come to God and they can say prayers and they can be involved. You can't be involved. Your prayers are not heard until you come through Jesus Christ, having accepted him as Savior and as Lord. There are many people, and they use what they call the Lord's Prayer, what some call the Our Father. We call it the Disciples' Prayer. And they say, Our Father, who art in heaven. Be careful, beloved. John 1:12 tells us, as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. If you are to become a son of God, then you were not always a son of God. If you're not a son of God, whose son are you? John 8:44 makes it plain from the mouth of the Lord Jesus himself, you're your father the devil. So get that prayer again. When you say, Our Father, if the devil is your father, to whom are you praying? And it always hurts my heart to see people who are supposed to be religious, encouraging ungodly people to pray Our Father, and they know very well they have not come to Christ. They have not become the sons of God. So they are invoking, as it were, the other side. It's very serious. How often have you done it? Why not come to Christ tonight? If you want Christ Jesus as Savior, you become a son of God. And then you have the right of the birthright to worship. God is going to hear you. Because you come to him through his son, having accepted Christ Jesus as Savior. Sell me this day thy birthright. Jacob had his head on, and he was going for the birthright. It had privileges, it had benefits, and he was going for it. When you come to Christ Jesus as Savior, you're getting privileges. We already mentioned that. You'll be a child of God. And you're getting benefits. You can talk to him and have your prayers answered. He's going to run your program. And the worst that can come shortens your journey, carries you home. Everything is going your way, beloved. And we trust that you will realize the benefits that are attached to the birthright if you'll accept Christ Jesus, if you will be born again by owning him as Savior and Lord. Jacob said to him, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him. And he sold, verse 32. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. I dare say that Esau was telling a lie. He was not at the point to die. He had come in and he was hungry. But beloved, a person needs to get a bit of water and air to live a long, long time. Esau had just gone out, but he exaggerated his need for these temporal things. And I dare say, anybody is hooked on cigarettes, who's hooked on drugs, who's hooked on immorality, who's hooked on anything ungodly, you are exaggerating your need. You don't need that. You don't need that. He exaggerated his need. He wanted this temporary meal. His appetite had to be satisfied. What was he trading for it? He was trading his birthright. He was trading that which was permanent for that which is temporary. He was trading his will, that which is eternal, for that which is temporal. If you're not saved, that is where you are. You are making a decision tonight to accept Christ Jesus or to reject him. The two things are before you. If you accept Christ Jesus, you are going in for something that is eternal. In other words, you are going for something that you cannot lose. Come to Christ. Own Him as Savior. Take salvation. You can't lose it. What are you trading this against? You're trading it against maybe money, maybe pleasure, maybe politics, maybe friends. Something in the world you're trading against your salvation. You are a loser. It's not a bargain. It's not a bargain. You might get the pleasures of this world for a short season, and then it's death, it's hell, and the lake of fire. You've lost. And you are lost. You have the power to make the right trade. And you want to go in for that which is permanent. In other words, had Esau taken that meal and he took it, suppose he got that meal at 12 o'clock in the day. 12 o'clock in the day he got this meal. It doesn't seem as though he had a doggy bag to even carry any home. He had one meal. What will happen to him by 6 in the afternoon? All was in vain. He was hungry again. Hungry again. And this is how the world treats you. If you go for the temporary things of this life, all will be in vain. You're going to be hungry again. But when you come to Christ Jesus, satisfies and He satisfies eternally. Can't you see the common sense of going for this one, the eternal one, and leaving out the temporary one? Esau was trading one meal that will last him 6 hours at most, might be hungry by 5 o'clock. And he could have had the birthright that will not only see him through life, but his children as well. The thing was supposed to be handed down to his first son and his first son, and so on and so forth. It was like a permanent gift. And he was playing with that against one meal, one lonely, single, solitary, individual meal. Beloved, we hope that you can see, if you're not yet saved, and what is keeping you back are temporary things. You know, you have friends that you feel you can't leave. The friends will leave you or you will leave them. Is it money you're going after? Is it pleasure you're going after? Whatever you are going after, it's temporary and it's not worth it. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We used to keep meetings in a place called Princeton. It is in that blank area that some of you saw today. We used to go there every Thursday night and keep meetings. Adults used to come, then they drifted away and we kept it for years with children only. We even gave them a treat at the end of the year. And there were little girls in that meeting, and the meeting had to stop after a while because the place was broken down, and the gospel tent was put in a district several miles away. One night, a brother named Brother Edward came to me after the meeting. He had two beautiful girls sitting there. You know these girls? No, sir, don't know them at all. He told me who they were. These two little girls, as infants, were in the meeting in Princeton. And now they are grown to lovely teenagers. And God, in His wisdom, put the tent in Williamsville. There was just a narrow road, and their house was here, and the tent was there. They didn't have to come to the meeting. The gospel had come to them, but they came to the meeting. After the meeting, we spoke to them. No, they were not going to be saved, very shy, but they weren't shy, they were sly. When you hear what happened to them. That campaign was finished, and we moved to the south of the island, a place called Cedrus. And while we are working there, Brother Usher and his children, and me, I might have 5 or 6 in those days, we lived together in a house, and we traveled through the tent, which was another maybe 15 miles away, but it was too far for us to come from home. He went out one morning and brought in a paper, we call it the Trinidad Guardian. Headline, bold and black, 5 killed on the Princess Margaret Highway. But when you begin to read, Julia Span, Sylvia Span, you know who that was? Those same two beautiful girls who had heard the gospel in Princeton, whom the gospel had followed, and God had brought it right home to them. They said they looked as if they were shy. They said they were sly. You know why? They wanted the pleasures of this life. And the morning when they died, at 2:30, they had gone to a place called San Juan, where you have an assembly. They're going to a fete, a dance. And coming back home in a Volkswagen, most of them sleeping, they hit another car, head on, taking 5.
And these lovely girls, they made a bad trade and they lost.
A bad trade and they lost.
They wanted the pleasures which were only for a season. And they let the salvation go, beloved. Don't be like Esau tonight. You have to make a trade. Go for the value. It's offered to you. Why not take it tonight? You think of a young man. He worked with my father in the electrical department. My father was a foreman there. And a very positive testimony for the Lord. And father speaks to this boy. He was young and he told my father, "Chap, I young and a nice." That is Trinidadian. It means I am young and I am nice. Young he was and nice he was. And he went off to the East Coast where they're drilling for oil now. There's a lovely beach there. And my father got the news at 4 o'clock one morning. The way I knew it, I just heard Pa bawling. Well, in Trinidadian they say bawling like a cow. He was crying at the top of his voice. The news had just come. The same young man to whom he was talking had gone to Mayaro and he's missing. When he was found several days later, he might have been still young, but he wasn't nice. The sea and the fish had done their work, and so they put cotton all over him and sealed the coffin. He played, he traded and he lost. Traded and he lost, young and nice. Beloved, what are you going to do? We trust that you will believe in the Lord Jesus and be saved tonight. We wish that you will ask, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to make sure that I have the correct trade? We have answers for you. We didn't make them up. In Acts chapter 16, verse 31 says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Is that really enough? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You may want to know then what and what must I believe. I am so glad that the scriptures have anticipated you and there's an answer for you in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3. And it tells you what and what to believe. You must believe that Christ died for your sins. That's what you must believe. This is according to the scriptures. And that he was buried and that he was raised again the third day. This is what you must believe. That Christ Jesus not only died for your sins, he died for sins, but he knew no sin. He did no sin. In him was no sin. For whose sins did he die? He died for mine, and he died for yours. This is what you must believe. You must believe that Christ died for your sins. According to the scriptures, he was buried and he raised again. We are glad to preach a living Christ. Because if we preach to you a dead Christ, a dead Savior is no use to you. By the same token, since Christ is alive, he's risen, and he is appointed judge. Today is the day of salvation. But there's a day coming that's going to be the day of judgment. If you miss the day of salvation, there's another day coming, and you won't miss that. So you want to come to him as Savior. He's a risen Savior, he's able to save, but he's a risen judge. If we present to you a dead judge, you're home and safe. But he's a living judge. He's resurrected. And if you miss him as Savior, you're not going to miss him as judge. What are you going to do? You know what to do. You must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. You know what to believe. You must believe that Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised again the third day according to the scriptures. You know what to believe. But you may not know how to believe. And there's a belief with the head. I have that. I grew up in a Christian home, and I believed it all. And I still wasn't saved until that night when I believed in my heart. And beloved, you must believe in your heart. Romans 10 and 9 tells us, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." And that's what you want. And that's what you need. That's the correct trade to me, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Now, there is one other question that comes up, when must I believe? And this is critical. Hell is almost full of people tonight who never intended to be here. They heard the gospel and they will believe, but one day when they were good and ready. But God says in 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, "Now is the accepted time." Beloved, you know all the answers. We have given you all the information, all the details. If you say data, some say data. We've given to you all. You know what to do to be saved. You know what to believe. You know how to believe. Believe in your heart. You know when to believe. What else do you need? What else do you need to make a proper trade? The world will never satisfy you. Forget it. But Christ Jesus can satisfy. All the infrastructure is in. Everything is done. The blood has been shed. The gospel has been preached. It is just for you to believe and be saved tonight. Beloved, if you die in your sins and go to hell, you cannot blame God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him, and that includes you, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can't blame the Lord Jesus Christ. He suffered and bled and died on God. And then he said, it is finished. Everything is ready for your salvation. And we preach, beloved, so that you won't be able to blame us. We owe you the gospel. And we trust we have paid our debt tonight. And beloved, it's left to you. If you die in your sins and go to hell, God is exempt from blame. And so is his son. And so is the preacher. And there's one person left, and that's you. We trust tonight to make the right way. Come to Christ Jesus, that one who suffered and bled and died on Calvary's cross. His precious blood was shed to take away your sins. And if you believe in him tonight, you'll be saved. At the end of this meeting, if it can be of any help to you, make sure you don't go away. See and make sure tonight. Make that right way tonight. Go for that which is permanent and eternal. Go for something that you can't lose. Trade it against something that you can't keep. It doesn't matter what you take. If it's health, or strength, or money, or friends, or what, you can't keep it. You're going to lose it. Why not give away what you can't keep to get what you cannot lose? Oh, that God will help you tonight to do that which is right, to be saving of your soul for Jesus.